This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV show can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Donald Trump's proposed budget cuts to the Department of Housing and Urban Development are deeply worrying public housing advocates. Draft copies of Trump's budget obtained by the Washington Post show a possible 14% cut to the HUD budget, as well as devastating cuts to public housing repair and improvements to the Housing Choice Voucher Rental Assistance Program and to programs that assist the elderly and disabled to obtain housing. There is already a major shortage of affordable housing in the United States, and if these proposed budget cuts go through, Trump might simply be making America homeless again. My guest is Sarah Mickelson. She's a public policy director with the National Low Income Housing Coalition. Welcome to the program, Sarah.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So first, can you explain what, just to briefly set the stage for our audience who may not pay attention directly to the details of what the Housing and Urban Development Department does, this being the department led by Ben Carson now, who has no experience in housing policy, what does the HUD do that public housing advocates like your organization are very much interested in?
Well, HUD oversees many programs that help make housing more affordable to people who have the lowest incomes. It's not just public housing, but also rental assistance that goes directly to the families who need it, housing for seniors, lots of other different programs that they have, but really it's aimed at helping people who would be at high risk of homelessness otherwise. And we're very concerned about these cuts because it makes it only harder for those folks to be able to find a place that they can call home.
And during his confirmation hearings, Ben Carson seemed to assuage some concerns by progressive Democrats by saying that he was going to be fair, that he, you know, would not be the kind of sort of slash and burn type Republican. So from what he said, were you at least temporarily assured that the HUD might keep doing its job?
Well, clearly this budget was put into place, or these conversations about where the budget should go were taking place before Dr. Carson was confirmed. We were very pleased to hear him say in his confirmation hearings that he wanted to see the programs expanded, that he didn't want to take away housing assistance from folks without something as an alternative to it already in place. We're hoping that this leak of the HUD budget gives Dr. Carson an opportunity to push back on the White House and the Office of Management and Budget, which helps put together these budgets, and to let them know that these cuts are really unacceptable.
And so, of course, it's the Trump administration specifically that sets this budget. It's not clear, I suppose, that Ben Carson was involved in the setting of the policies that determine these leaked budget drafts. Let's talk about what it seems as though Trump would like for HUD to cut among them, and I'm glad you mentioned it's not just public housing, it's rental assistance. Among these cuts would be an ending of most federally funded community development grants, as per the Washington Post. What does this mean? Like, what are federally funded community development grants, and what would happen if they got the axe?
Sure. So both the community development block grant and the home grant are funds that give states and communities a lot of flexible resources so that they can address what is most pressing in their communities. The home program can be used to support home ownership opportunities or to build rental housing and some other uses too. The community development block grant is used often to build community facilities and to take care of other really high necessity things that are happening in your community. Both of those cuts mean that communities will be hamstrung. It will be very difficult for them to be able to put resources towards addressing the needs in their community. These resources are a huge source of financing that they use. They leverage it with private financing as well. Not having this sort of gap financing means that we will see it will be harder to build affordable housing, and it will be harder to build affordable housing that's more deeply targeted to people who have the greatest needs.
Now, what would it mean for the rental assistance programs to also face significant cuts? I mean, basically, these are presumably programs that help subsidize rent for very low-income Americans?
Yeah, and this is probably one of the most disturbing pieces of the proposed budget or the leaked budget that we saw. So it provides on its face a $300 million cut to the Housing Choice Voucher Program. But in essence, that cut is much larger. And that's because it doesn't take into account the inflationary costs that are associated with rental assistance. So when, you know, as year after year, as rent increases in the private market, so does the cost of rental assistance just to keep the same number of families with the assistance that they get. So when they talk about a $300 million cut, that actually ends up being more like a $980 million cut compared to FY17 levels or the 2017 levels. We estimate that that could be about 200,000 families that would lose access to housing choice vouchers. These folks would either be spending more and more of their income on rent, leaving behind very few resources to pay for transportation, food, healthcare, other basic needs. And in the worst cases, these are folks who could become homeless.
Wow. So here we have a situation where, as I mentioned, in the country, there's already a very severe shortage of affordable housing. We see that particularly in cities, on the coasts, but presumably elsewhere as well, even in other parts of the country, increasingly it's harder to get rentals that are actually affordable. So there's a shortage of affordable housing, and now there's going to possibly be a cut to rental assistance. So you estimate a very large number of people being possibly out on the streets. Meanwhile, of course, we have a billionaire in the White House making these decisions that lives in opulence, where taxpayers are paying for his wife to live separately from him in the Trump Tower, where taxpayers are paying for him to have security for his visits to the winter White House in Florida. I mean, this is a person living in the lap of luxury, feeling that it's okay to cut the, you know, budgets that help the most vulnerable Americans, many of them very likely people who voted for Trump, right?
Yeah, and if you look at, if you look at the need, it's just so overwhelming. We estimate that there's a shortage of about 7.4 million units of housing for the 11 million renters who are out there who earn extremely low incomes. So that means that for every 100 of those households, there are only 35 rental homes that are affordable to them and available to them. So the majority of these folks are paying more and more of their income on rent. In fact, 71% of them pay half of their income on rent. This is really not the time where we should be cutting resources. If anything, we need to be looking to places to increase resources for affordable housing. There are opportunities out there, and we really hope that the Trump administration and Congress are looking to them because these cuts are really just not acceptable.
Let's talk about cuts to public housing. I mentioned one that might be on the chopping block is funding that simply repairs and rehabilitates and improves public housing. And then there's also simply a cut to the Public Housing Capital Fund, $1.3 billion cuts to the Public Housing Capital Fund. So what does that mean for public housing in general in the United States?
Well, already, even before these cuts, we were losing about 10,000 units of public housing every year due to the lack of repairs and rehabilitation that's going on. These cuts, like you said, it's a dramatic cut, about 68% for funding for repairs. That means that we'll likely see more and more units being lost. And that's really unfortunate, and more than unfortunate, it's really wrong, considering the decades that these resources have been serving people in their communities. This is a long-term investment that we've made, and to all of a sudden, or to continue to undermine that by cutting funding, is really a poor choice of resources.
Are there specifically communities that would be impacted in the press release that your organization put out? You pointed out that Native Americans would see cuts to resources targeted to their communities by nearly a quarter.
That's right. And Native Americans tend to have the worst housing needs in America. They suffer from very high rates of poverty and often higher rates of substandard housing. So reducing those sorts of resources is really hurting people who are the most vulnerable.
And how does what Trump has proposed fit with trends over the years, because Republicans have been in control of Congress for a while, even under President Obama? Is this part of an ongoing trend of whittling away at the housing budget?
Yeah, definitely. So since 2011, the law has set into place very low spending caps for both defense programs and non-defense programs, which include programs at HUD, but also many other very important programs. And so what we've seen since then is that Congress has come to an agreement with the White House when President Obama was in office to lift those spending caps, but only by a very limited amount. And they did so equally between defense programs and non-defense programs. So we have seen HUD programs suffer. Like I mentioned before, because rental assistance costs go up over time, we really can't see level funding. Level funding is really about a cut. It amounts to a cut. And so
no increase in funding basically means a loss. It's like when you have your salary, when you don't get a salary increase, but obviously there's inflation, you can afford fewer and fewer things on the same salary. It amounts to a wage cut. So in the same way,
right.
I'm assuming this is what you're saying.
Yeah, and so the HUD's budget is about 8%, 8.4% less now than it was in 2010. Accounting for that adjustment in inflation. The real concern that we have is that those spending cuts are back in place next year. And unless Congress lifts those caps for both defense and non-defense programs, we're going to continue to see cuts like this, and it'll continue to devastate the HUD programs and the very important people that they serve.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned Native American communities. What about veterans? Often we see very high levels of homelessness among veterans. Do any of these proposed budget cuts, could they lead to even worse situations for veterans?
Absolutely. And one of the success stories of HUD has been its ability to decrease the level of homelessness among veterans because they are able to supply them with housing choice vouchers and other resources. Cutting funding to housing choice vouchers will only increase homelessness, not only among veterans, but among seniors, people with disabilities, families. We're very concerned that this will lead to greater levels.
Now, the spokesperson for the Housing and Urban Development HUD Department, Jerome Brown, said that the budget document that was basically published, whose critique was published by the Washington Post, said that these are still a work in progress, and it's part of a back and forth with federal budget officials. It's not yet clear if these proposed cuts will be included in the president's final budget proposal, and that budget proposal will be released in the next few days. What are the odds that these very deep cuts will remain? And we also should remind ourselves that Trump has very openly promised to significantly increase the military budget, 10% increase, an unprecedented increase, $54 billion more for the military, and a $4 billion less, $4 to $6 billion less for the Department of Housing and Urban Development, which I think it's really important to kind of put those priorities next to one another. But what is the likelihood that these very harsh cuts to the house, already meager housing budget, will actually make it into the final budget proposal?
Well, given, as you mentioned, President Trump's call to increase defense spending at the expense of other programs, we were expecting a cut around this level, but seeing it in writing is definitely much more disheartening. We hope that between now and when the budget comes out, that Dr. Carson can weigh in. He can live up to the commitments that he made during his confirmation hearing and in written statements to senators. This is really the time for him to be able to step up and push back on these really harmful cuts. So there is an opportunity for the budget to look different than it does now or than these drafts, but we suspect that deep cuts will be coming one way or the other.
Sarah, your organization, the National Low Income Housing Coalition, released a report recently entitled A Place to Call Home, where you see the success that even small amounts or moderate amounts of investment in housing can have. I mean, often Republicans and fiscal conservatives try to imply or even just straight up come out and say that putting, you know, these sorts of social safety net programs are throwing money away, and that, you know, people can't rely on them forever, that people will end up being less self-reliant, that somehow it's spoiling Americans to actually give them assistance, and the trickle-down economics are better if we just keep pumping money at the top, that it'll trickle down to the bottom. What does your report find about what it means to simply directly inject money where it's actually needed?
Well, the report pulls together the latest research on the connection between affordable housing and economic mobility, better health outcomes, lifting people out of poverty, educational outcomes for children. There's a lot of very broad positive impacts from having access to affordable housing. A lot of evidence that it really does do its job at lifting people out of poverty. The effects are broad. Affordable housing isn't just housing policy, it's education policy, it's health policy, it's anti-poverty. There's really good evidence that this is something that we should be investing in more. The real shame here is that only 1 in 4 people who are eligible for housing assistance actually get the help that they need.
Wow.
So if we can imagine what a life changer this would be if we invested fully in these programs.
And I mean, we talked about Native Americans, we talked about veterans, but I mean, in general, children, American children and poor families are going to be impacted. Disabled Americans, elderly Americans, all of whom rely on this. And I know that your report and your website talks a lot about those issues as well. Give out a website for your organization, Sarah.
The website is www.nlihc.org.
That's NLIHC, which stands for the National Low Income Housing Coalition, NLIHC.org. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Anytime.
My guest is Sarah Mickelson. She's the Public Policy Director with the National Low Income Housing Coalition. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. And by the way, I'm so pleased to announce that this program will return to 5 days a week on KPFK Pacific Hour Radio, our home station. So you can tune in every day, 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific time, Monday through Friday.